to get into our message this morning, give me just a moment here to tell you a little story. Everybody's asking about Arlene and I's trip. By the way, I wanted to say thank you to Bob Holcutt last week that stepped in and preached kind of at the last minute. Alex and Emily, they had a baby at the wrong time, you know, and Alex was going to preach for you last week, and so they welcomed their new little one on Friday of last week. So Bob stepped in and preached and did a great job. I was able to listen to that. But Arlene and I were away. We actually flew to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and got on a cruise ship down there and went to the down to the Southern Caribbean for the week, and it was a great time away. But we did have quite a scare while on board. We left St. Kitts on our way to St. Lucia, and we got up the next morning, and we weren't in St. Lucia. Matter of fact, you looked outside, and it's like, okay, we're like full steam ahead through the ocean. What's going on here? We're supposed to be in dock or in port by now. And after a few hours, they came on and they told us that there was a medical emergency with one of the crew and that we were going to have to go straight to Barbados. So, okay, we wanted the best for whoever. And so we got to Barbados and we sat there off the coast of Barbados all day long, all afternoon, all evening. And finally they came on and said that the crew member, that they suspect that he possibly had this coronavirus. And we weren't going to be able to dock until this was cleared up. And, you know, everybody's all of a sudden, oh my goodness, we're going to be on here for 14 more days. And, you know, it's great to leave Pennsylvania in February, but I don't want to stay on a cruise ship for 14 days longer, okay? So anyway, after all day, all afternoon, all evening, they came on at 11:15, 11:30 at night and said that the test was negative. And then the captain actually said, I have somebody here who would like to speak to you. And the prime minister of Barbados actually got on our ship and said, you know, we're sorry that we've put you guys through this today and we wouldn't let you dock or whatever. Please get off the ship tomorrow and spend your money in Barbados. And we did. So we had a good time. So other than that scare, we were fine. You know, we sent a text home to our kids, and our daughter Sarah, she texted back and she was all concerned. I said, honey, your mom and I are sitting up by the pool eating a hamburger, okay? We're all good, all right? She was quite frightened about everything. But it was a good time other than that. And but we're glad to be back home. Hey, I'm so excited about this series that we've started. We're going to be doing this for a number of weeks more. But today we're going to be continuing talking about being established. Last week, Bob talked to you about prayer. Today I'm going to talk to you about hearing from God, okay? And this whole series is all about how to be established in the love of God. Because when we're rock solid in that, we can be solid in so many other things in life. So let me ask you a question here as we get started. Does God still speak today? I mean, does God still speak in our time? Can we still hear His voice? You know, we're talking about being established and things that are established. I've always wanted to go and see Mount Rushmore. You ever seen Mount Rushmore? Arlene has been to Mount Rushmore when she was a teenager. I want to go back. I think it'd be cool to see that. Now, where I was raised, we didn't have Mount Rushmore, but we did have the Great Stone Face Rock. You ever seen this? Of course you haven't. Arlene has. Kristen has. Nathan did if he looked up that day we were driving by the road. But this is the Great Stone Face Rock. This rock actually was about 3/4 of a mile from my house. It was in between Pennington Gap, Virginia, where I was raised, and St. Charles, Virginia, where I was born. So I went by this rock each and every day. Matter of fact, you can actually climb up this mountain behind the rock and then climb down on top of the rock. And I've actually done that. I got a picture somewhere of me sitting on the top of this, and I tried to find it, but I couldn't, and I'd never go up there now. You know, back when you were a teenager and stupid, you did things like that. But I'm much wise now to try such a thing. But you research this rock, Great Stone Face Rock, and it'll talk about how the Indians saw it. How they were the first ones that saw this stone face when they came into the area of that part of southwestern Virginia. But I wonder, you know, if this rock still looks this way from the day that God created the heavens and the earth. You know, I just love things like that are solid and established. They've always been this way. They'll always be this way. It's really neat to understand that. And when you ask yourself the question, does God still speak today? I think that that's one of these things that's established. It's solid. It hasn't changed, and it won't change. I think the answer is yes, God is still speaking today. Now, for some people, they think he has laryngitis. Right? He spoke so much in the past that he's not able to speak so much today, that he suffers from laryngitis. But listen, folks, for you and I to be rooted and established in the love of God, we've got to learn to listen to the voice of God. We've got to learn how to hear his voice in our day and time. You know, think about this. If you pray, you're spiritual, right? If you pray, people think you're spiritual. You know, if you talk to God, people think that you're spiritual. But if you say, you know what, I hear God, they think you're crazy. Right? I mean, if you pray, you're spiritual. If you talk to God, you're spiritual. But if you say, you know what, God talks to me, you're crazy. But listen, folks, that's very different from what the Bible teaches. Here's the thing. God is still speaking. And God wants you to know him and to know his voice. He wants you to hear him. You know, in the Bible, we always think that God spoke a lot. And in modern times, is he still speaking? You know, people think about this and they realize that right now, people are having all kinds of conversations around them. Now, we can't see them. Think about it. If you had a radio here in this room and you had it set on FM, you could turn it, and every little bit of movement, you would tune in another voice, another song, another station. You know, if you had an AM radio in here, you would tune in to news and sports and talk. Just every little bit. I mean, the voices are all around us. But in order for us to hear them, we must be tuned in. God is still speaking. But do we hear from him? I mean, do we learn how to tune our spirit and hear his voice? Because just hearing the voice of God, but not understanding that voice, then we're not hearing him clearly. Communication can be so difficult, certainly between human beings, but also between us and God. We can communicate with God. We can understand him. We can know his voice. He is still speaking, but we have to learn to tune in. John chapter 10 is an interesting passage of Scripture. Now, I don't have the passage written up here for you, because I want to encourage you to read this entire chapter of the 10th chapter of the book of John. And you'll notice there that he says a lot of things, but he mentions in verse number 10 that the thief comes only to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. Think about it. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan. You and I have this enemy. What does he want to do? He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy my life. By the way, Satan is known as what? He's known as the father of lies. That we've got Satan telling us these lies. And if we continue to read this passage, it also says that God is speaking too. And that he's going to tell us the truth. So how do we discern between these two voices? Have you ever heard somebody talk to you and they say that God is telling them something? And you think in your mind or in your spirit, you know what? That might be the devil. I mean, how do we know? How do we know that it's God's voice that we're hearing, not the devil's voice? The Bible says that the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light, that he's walking around, he's a wolf looking for someone to devour. He's the father of lies. He's the father of deception. And how do we know when we think or we say that we're hearing from God, how do we know that that's who it is? How can we discern between the voices? How can we discern the truth? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. And have it what? Have it to the full, he says. Have it to the full. Now stop right there and think about that. Jesus says that you have an enemy that wants to destroy your life. But Jesus wants you to recognize his voice, and he wants not only to give you life, but he wants to give you a full life or an abundant life. The idea here is life to the maximum. Life abundant. Jesus wants us to have that. And as he continues to teach us in this passage, he says that we're going to have this abundant life, then we're going to discern his voice. Look at John chapter 10, verse 27. He says what? He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Verse 28, I give them eternal life that they shall never perish. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than them all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then in verse 29, he says, I and the Father are one. Jesus is the shepherd in this illustration. And he says that the sheep know his voice. The Bible says that he leaves the 99 and comes to pursue the one lost sheep. That's us. But it also says over and over again that sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Now, folks, listen, if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've experienced this born-again experience through Christ, the work of Jesus Christ is eternal in your life. You can't do anything that would make God love you less. You can't do any good deed that would make God love you more. God's love is unconditional. And when we surrender to Him, He says that we are going to know His voice. Think about this, folks. Here's some things that will help us understand how we can hear God. And this is the first thing. God wants you to know His voice. There's an author by the name of Peter Lord. He wrote a lot about discipleship, about discerning God's presence. And in his book called Lord, he described a situation where they were having a get-together at his home, and he invited some of his son's classmates from school. And he said he went out on the porch, Peter Lord did, and he noticed this young man standing on the steps of his home, peering into a bush. And the young man said to him, said, Mr. Lord, did you know that you have 12 different kinds of cricket in your bush? And Peter Lord said, cricket? I didn't know I had one kind of cricket. How in the world do you know that we have that many kinds of crickets? And he said that he was studying these in school, and he could differentiate different types by the sound they make and by what they looked like. And he was listening, and he knew that he had all these different kinds of crickets living in this bush. You see, it isn't so much of whether or not God is talking. It's whether or not we are tuned in to his voice. You know, for some of us, this is such a big deal. It should be. For some of us, it's nothing more than an academic exercise, but it needs to be so much more than that. It's not so much, can God speak? That's an academic question. And the answer's most notably yes. But the second question is even more important, and that is, do we hear His voice? Because what that means is it's talking about your specific life. You know, do you know God and love God and understand God in such a way that you get this? He wants to speak. He has spoken. And we have to make sure that we are in tune to that voice. The Bible says that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. There was a story once about this guy that was wanting direction from God. So he took the Bible and he thumbed through it and he pointed to a verse and he said, God, I need a magic moment right now. I need a word from you. He looked down and his finger was upon these words. Judas went out and hung himself. So the guy was like, okay, that can't be right. Let's try this again. So he flipped through it again. He pointed at a verse and it said, go and do likewise. He tried it once more and he looked down and he read, what you do, you must do in a hurry. And he said, okay, I give up, right? You know, a lot of us give up hearing from God because we've gone about it all the wrong way. You see, folks, we're talking here about the Bible teaching us that God has said that His voice will be true. And when we read Scripture, because that's how God primarily speaks, you think about it. People think, you know what? God spoke an awful lot during the Old Testament, and He did. And then God said a lot through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He did. And people think today, but God today isn't speaking anymore. Listen, folks, we have the wonderful written Word of God. And God speaks to us through that Word. Do you hear His voice? I mean, when you read the Bible, is it just words on a page? Or is it the sweet, loving voice of God speaking to us? Here, let me give you another one. And this one is kind of controversial, but I think it's also very, very important. God also speaks to us, I think, in this way through what I'm going to say is authority. Through authority. I mean, think about that. The Bible is the main authority. We submit to the Scripture. And God will speak to you through that authority. But He also speaks to us through authority other ways. Through teachers, pastors. You know, through a spouse, husband or wife. Through an employer. Right? See, we live in a time because we hold to democracy so tightly, we don't like the idea of anything having authority over us. But there's always something that has, you know, Romans chapter 13 talks about the government is always given by God and how we should be in authority to that, that they are in authority over us and that we should obey those laws. You know, by the way, I saw something yesterday in Pittsburgh. When I was over there, they have these signs up all along the interstate in Pittsburgh, and it says, speed enforcement by camera begins Monday. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? I saw it 20 times yesterday on the interstates in and around Pittsburgh. Starting Monday, speed is going to be enforced by camera. And I've seen these speed cameras through certain intersections, but this seemed to be saying it's going to be all over, everywhere. You know what, folks? I'm in a heap of trouble. And most of you are too, okay? Can you imagine? I mean, but are we that big of lawbreakers? You know, that something like that, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in a heap of trouble. Listen, folks. God can use the authority over our lives to speak. He did it. If you look in the Old Testament, you think about what God spoke, what He said through Pharaoh, through other disobedient kings, through authorities and rulers from other nations that the Hebrew people were submissive to. over and over and over again, God used these entities, God used these people in authority to teach His people a very important lesson. And listen, folks, God still does that away. Don't shy away from people that have authority over you. You know, it's so easy. The pastor says something that you disagree with, or if he steps on your toes, it's so easy just to walk out and dismiss him, right? Totally. You've done it. We've all done that. But maybe we shouldn't do that so quickly. Maybe God has put some authority in our life. Maybe our parents. The Bible says, honor your parents, obey your parents, which is right. You know, the Bible says obey the government, the authorities that are over you. God, the Bible says to submit yourself to the pastors and teachers and leaders in the kingdom of God. A lot of times we dismiss this as being another voice other from God, and I'm saying that it can be that, but it also can be the very voice that God is using to get your attention. Now, think about this, because there's a couple more of these that I want to share with you. Not only through His voice, through the Word, and know that voice, the authority, but think about this one too. Because a lot of times God wants to use the godly voices in your life so that you can hear from Him. Now, the optimum word here is godly. You know, the truth is that when we're making life decisions, we can find somebody who will agree with us. And a lot of times, those are the very voices that we seek out. I think if you would ask Don, our counselor here at First Church, I know I've had this experience time and time again. Somebody comes, they want your counsel, they want your insight, they want your opinions, they want to know your understanding of their situation. And then when you give it, they dismiss it outright because you're telling them something that they didn't want to hear. But let me tell you something, folks. I remember a long time ago, my grandfather said, he said, you know, John, if one person tells you you're wrong, you might be right. But if everybody says you're wrong, you're probably wrong. You know, God puts these godly voices in our lives in many ways, not to just help us, but to show us that He's still speaking to us today. You know, you think about it. Who are these godly voices? Well, I think you need to understand that it's people that are following Jesus. It's people that are humble. Humility is the chief virtue of the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You want to find humble people who you know are following Jesus and who love you and will tell you the truth about who you are and maybe where you're heading. People that want nothing but the very best for you. Nothing, they want exactly for you the same thing that God wants for you. But so many times we gravitate away from those kinds of godly voices, those kinds of voices of authority, and we gravitate toward the people that just stroke our ego and tell us what we want to know. Here, I got a verse for you if you think that way. Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse 20. Look at what it says. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Listen, folks, take that. Walk with the wise and become wise. Because if you're always just hanging around foolish people with foolish ideas, it's going to lead you to harm. If you want to be wise, if you want to be godly, if you want to know the voice of God, then live your life with people who are wise, who are godly, who know the voice of God. What does the Bible say? You become like those that you hang out with. If right, you're thinking, well, all my friends are different than that. You know, my mother used to have this phrase, and she used to as I've gone on to life, I'd love to have her here and have a conversation with her about exactly what she meant like this. But she told me one time, she said, "John, you attract idiots." I don't know what that says about all of you, but one day we can ask her when we get there. You know what she's trying to teach me, though? If you surround yourself with these kind of foolish people, it's going to lead to foolishness. When you're asking advice, when you're looking for the voice of God, trust those people that you know have this kind of beautiful relationship with Him. Now, two other things very quickly, because we're almost out of time. And that is, God can also speak to us through circumstances. And through these circumstances, we can hear that still, small voice of God. Have you ever done a study like that in Scripture? Where God kind of whispers to people in situations? But listen, folks, the only way you can hear a whisper is if you're quiet. And we so very seldom are quiet. This morning I came into the office and Don was already there, and we were sitting in his office and we were talking and we were laughing, we were sharing, we were going this and that. All of a sudden we were quiet for a moment and I said, "Don, what is that noise?" He said, "I don't know, I hear that too." But we started talking some more and, you know, we were loud and we still didn't hear. You didn't hear it while you were talking, but when you were totally quiet, you could hear this voice, and somebody had activated one of the echo little speaker things over in the other side of the office, and it wasn't up very loud, and you could hear it as long as you were quiet, but you didn't hear it at all when you weren't. And listen, folks, that's exactly what we need to know in life. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not going to scream at you. He's not going to bark at you. Well, maybe on occasion. But usually when He speaks, He talks like a shepherd. And a shepherd was always on top of the situation. A shepherd never overreacted. A shepherd just did what a shepherd does. And that's what's the very best for His sheep. When Jesus talks about shepherding sheep, here's how they would shepherd in the Middle East during His time. A lamb would be born in the flock, and the shepherd, after the birth of the lamb, would take the lamb and put the lamb on his shoulders, and he would walk around with the lamb on his shoulders for a few days. And when he did that, the little lamb got to know the shepherd's voice, and there was trust. And after a period of time, the shepherd would take the lamb and put it back in the flock, and the lamb would know the voice of the shepherd. In Jesus' time, shepherds could just literally walk in front of the flock and call out to the sheep, and they would follow His voice. And if you want to know the voice of God, then you've got to spend time with Him. And the more time that you spend with Him, the more that you will recognize His voice when He speaks to you. I think so many people today don't think that God is speaking at all, because they don't recognize His voice. You see, this is the kind of big thought that He wants us to get. Because a lot of times our circumstances drive us away from Him rather than centering us in our trust of Him and listening and hearing His still small voice speak to us. Many of you think it's God's will for you to do this, that, or the other. But you know what, folks? I don't want you to see God's will as a bullseye, you know? I got to hit the bullseye every time. I got to make the right decision of what car to buy and what job to accept and what house to live in or buy, or even what person to marry, or you know, just decision after decision after decision. Because you know what? When we see God's will as nothing more than a bullseye, when we miss the bullseye, we become disillusioned with God. Or rather, we question our own faith. But you know what? When we're hearing His voice, hearing it in the Scriptures, hearing it in the authority that's over us, hearing it in the godly people that love us and want the best for us, hearing the voice of God through the circumstances of life, through the still small voice that speaks to us, then we would say, yes, God speaks today if we are tuned in to His voice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful morning. God bless us right now as we make our decisions, Father, to really listen and to hear your voice. A lot of times, I think, Lord, we know your voice, we hear your voice, we just ignore it or we disobey it. So God, for those that are here this morning that have been disobedient to your voice in their life, I pray that you would help them to recognize your voice and to obediently respond as you would want them to. But then, Lord, for others that are here, that who are not convinced that you are speaking, I pray, Lord, that you could center them and quiet them down. And as the young lamb hears the voice of the God, may they hear your voice. Lord, all these other ways that we've talked about, Father, may we hear and recognize your voice. But Lord, the final step is simply that we tune in, that we tune ourselves in to that voice. And I pray that we would, and that we would know, Father, that you still speak today. That you still speak today very loudly, and may we respond in obedience to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.